Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Mama, I am feeling it today. It being alcohol. I'm so hungover. It's like I'm a frat boy on a Wednesday morning, and what do? Go to like an e-com class?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Business majors?
Nothing sounds worse than that. Nothing at all. Nothing. You couldn't say anything that sounds worse than that.
But sweating into the sea?
Yeah.
Heinous, horrid.
Feels appropriate for back to school vibes.
Yeah. It's upon us. I am completely filled with energy this week. The first week of September is one of my favorite times of year.
Well, it's your birthday the first week of September.
Could be. That might be connected to it, but I don't think it is.
You're like, I have my favorite week of the year and it just happens to be the week my birthday's
on. Oh my God. No. Famously, I have always had a tough birthday. So, in many ways, maybe that's a sign that I have had real healing around it.
No, last time we recorded the night before your birthday, I feel like we both cried.
We did.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't sleep all night.
Oh my God.
It was like our first tiff.
It was our first fight. It was our first fight ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was real.
Your birthday eve, and then it was like, see ya.
Yeah.
And I was leaving for a 2-week trip.
Yeah.
The following day.
And I was leaving for a trip the morning of my birthday.
We're both like, okay, bye.
Okay. Oh, God.
Oh.
Going to bed mad. We went to bed mad that night.
No, Neo says to never do it.
I know. I would rather that than a false resolution.
Yeah.
Of like, all right, well, all good.
I think authenticity is reigning at the moment.
Yeah.
We're seeing it in music. We're seeing it in television.
Yeah.
Reality is now everything. We want the truth.
We want
nothing but the truth.
I know.
Oh my God, speaking about the truth. We just returned from a 2-week jaunt in Europe.
Yeah.
And I feel like you and I had like different versions of the truth on this trip.
So true.
You deleted Instagram.
Completely. I didn't really go on it for any reason other than to occasionally check the messages that you had sent me.
And then what did I send you? I sent you like one of our peers getting the biggest job in media of all
and
time.
I was
you
like,
opened your phone to
that.
That
was a mistake.
You were like, I should have kept
that's
it deleted.
Exactly the kind of stuff that I was like, there's no
afraid
reason
of.
You need to be thinking about this
oh,
on your honeymoon.
I'm so sorry.
No.
I'm so sorry.
No, it was good because it was like, that was the only burst of that.
But I had no one else to like
no.
be my outlet for that.
And the thing is you didn't need to be alone with that either. It's like
too big of a
burden. I'm happy to sit in that room with you.
Yeah.
In that humid room.
But the idea, I mean, I've really found myself like matching my freak at the moment with stories and Instagram stories that is and real life where I am kind of having as much fun in reality as I am posting online.
As it looks like you're having.
Which is kind of rare. Except the feed tells a different story.
Yeah.
I don't know why this isn't talked about, but the fact that vacation and the pressure to be like the hottest version of yourself is like are so aligned that like two girls skipping hands held down the street together. Why is it a wedding day? It's like
I
you're
know.
Glam every night when you're just going to dinner with the same person you've been with all day, but you need the look. You need it documented.
I did glam every night.
Yeah.
I glammed every
yeah,
night.
Yeah. If the photo doesn't betray the you that you saw in the mirror when you left, well, you're fucked. That was the worst night of your life. Memory tainted. Everything's ruined. Why am I so fucking ugly? I think I said that to Chris like multiple times. I was like, why am I Flubber from the movie Flubber?
The little green gentleman.
Why am I a literal monster like come to life? Like how do you love me? How did I land you?
How
like that's
how how does he respond?
He's just like, it's not a chill exchange. It's not him being like, you're beautiful, babe. It's like,
yeah,
I can't do this anymore. Oh. It's like that. It's like he hulks out talking about green gentlemen. He hulks out.
Oh my
because
God.
It is so frustrating. Like it must be so annoying to like have someone in your life who's just like, why do I look like this? Like,
yeah,
I have a confession to make here and now.
Oh my God.
Chris took a photo of me in one of my bikinis. I'd never worn it before. It was a fresh purchase. It wasn't expensive. But I hated the photo so much that I threw it away. Yeah. I said, I'm just going to return to the room really quick. I removed the bikini. I put on a robe and I lay on the bed And that's how he found me, staring at the ceiling, bikini in the trash.
Oh my God.
He found the bikini in the trash too. Yeah. He said, did you throw away your bikini? And I was like, yes.
Oh,
isn't
my God.
That actually horrendous? Like, take away like this, like,
no,
sustainability.
It's a powerful image. No. Bikini in the trash.
Bikini in the trash? I mean, yeah. Name of our new band.
Yeah.
But like, take away the sustainability component, which I actually don't want to think about and won't think
of
about.
Course. No, don't worry about
because
that.
Because it made me feel sick. But the fact that I couldn't in my right mind even pack it in my suitcase to get it home to donate, it needed to go then and there. It's fucked up.
To a Grecian landfill.
Grecian landfill. And they've got enough problems.
Yeah.
That economy.
It's tough.
It's already in the landfill.
Yeah.
And I'm just adding to it. I'm piling on, so to speak.
No, I think I understand. Sometimes all you can do is a grand gesture. And we tend to think of grand gestures as sort of grand gestures of love. Yeah. Of like, he came to my house with chocolates and flowers. But sometimes a grand gesture is
it's a definitive
of,
one.
It's a definitive, you know.
The
it's,
guillotine.
It's me getting so frustrated at one point. I unloaded a load of laundry.
What did you do?
I put it in a little basket and then I came to the room to fold it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting so frustrated folding it. Like something, it was like, I don't know. It was just, you know, one of those things where
the patience
so fucking,
wasn't
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it wasn't
yeah.
there. So I, instead of folding it, picked up every article of clothing from the basket and threw it as hard as I could onto the bed. And just was like,
I'll tell you.
I had a toddler tantrum.
I don't think ever felt so seen by you. Is the day when I washed like red chapstick and with my whites, and it didn't necessarily turn everything pink. A little bit it did, but really it was just chips of red wax over every white piece of clothing I had. And I was scrubbing it in the bathtub when you came over and you were like, this would break someone. This
yeah.
would really break someone. And I was like, dude, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
I feel insane right now. Like, I am on the edge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Scrubbing off this chapstick. Chris was like, leave it. I'll do it after my meeting. No.
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 And that's how you know it's unreasonable, because someone's offering you help and you're refusing it because it has to be done now.
Can't be helped.
Which is something I saw on like some sort of like couples therapy TikTok that I like immediately scrolled past, where it's like, if the expectation is not just that your partner does it, but they do it on your timeline, then mm-hmm. it's not a reasonable expectation. And I was like,
because
it's like,
hands
you,
and ears.
Yeah, I was like, ah, ah. Sorry, I think you found the wrong girl.
The algorithm was not working
no,
with you. It was working against
no.
you. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your second wedding?
Oh my God. A joy. I had the time of my life. Who really had the time of my life was my father. The wedding was held in his hometown.
He was the bride.
He was the bride. He was.
He was the bride. You know, they say that, you know, that like sometimes like the mother of the bride can like become the bride on the day.
Yeah.
It was the father of the bride in this case.
Yeah, it was Slobo.
He was Steve Martin.
I know. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. I had so much fun. I could control almost nothing. We woke up on the day. I don't even know if I've shared the behind the scenes with you. I haven't for sure, because we've both been in Europe. The behind the scenes was that we woke up on our wedding day with absolutely no idea of the timeline of any of the events. We were like, what time do we have to be at the courthouse? What time are we taking pictures? Who has to be there ready for the pictures? Like, when should I tell friends to be ready? None of that was revealed to me. And it all worked out in the end. But Steven asked me, I can't even tell you how many times, what's going on? Where do we have to be right now?
I have a visceral memory. I was there for this. With Steven asking, who's officiating? Day off. And you were like, it's the person at the court. It's the person there. And he was like, what do you mean by that?
Who him is being like, wait, are we reading our vows? And me saying, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll find out when we get there.
And it was half in Serbian, half in English ceremony. And then the kind of family took the altar. And one by one, we all went by and greeted them.
You told me that I was beyond beautiful.
I know.
Serbian.
In Serbian?
Yeah.
I know, and I can't remember it, but I worked really hard on the pronunciation.
And it was really good. No.
But I also told your sisters, and they both said, I don't know what that means. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
They simply don't speak the language.
Yeah, never mind. Never mind.
I know. They're not fluent like you. So it's just, it was so fun. And you guys really were troopers through all of it. You, the so friends good. All showed up in a way that I am moved to tears. And I believe that I was moved to tears in front of you at one point, where I just remember looking at you and being like, I cannot believe that you're here in my dad's hometown of Serbia.
I don't know if we can say this or if it has to be cut, but to attendees, two of the kids, yeah, as we named ourselves, fucked in the vineyard
I know.
That night.
I'm obsessed.
Fucked in the vineyard yeah. that night.
And that's how you know. That was our dream for our wedding. We were like, it's like...
If two people aren't having sex in the vineyard outside, we've failed.
Because it's like when the celebratory spirit overcomes you, where all you can do is make love to your partner.
Under the moon?
Yeah, under the moon.
Under the Serbian moon.
Full moon.
Yeah. That is something.
Yeah.
That is something.
So we knew we did it right in that way. God, we knew we did it right.
It was magical. It was magical. And honestly, so was like the remainder of both of our trips, I feel.
Yeah.
But just circling back really quickly to the being hot, because obviously, you know, you have now been hot for like multiple days in a row this summer. You've been forced to be like peak hotness over and over again. Dude, walking through the streets of Santorini, 8 a.m., girls, full wedding day glam.
Yeah.
Wedding day glam, 8 a.m., they've got hair, they've got makeup, they've got a gown. There was one girl there, I was like, okay, this must be your engagement photos. And they looked to her boyfriend who was like dressed like a tourist schlub. And I was like, oh no, he's not supposed to be here or in it. He is supposed to just be there for moral support and to be a production assistant on this shoot.
Oh my God.
It was actually unbelievable. And it just makes you feel crazy. Like, it makes you feel like you have to participate. Otherwise you are frankly not living. I mean, we did get in a queue at one point for a photo, or a queue formed behind us. One of the two. But somehow we were in a queue.
Oh my God.
To get a photo at a specific pole. It was just wild.
Whoa.
I know. I had a friend tell me that her mum queued for a photo spot in Bali between like two arches. It's like a very famous photo spot. And it basically is like two arches on a beautiful crystal lake that reflects the arches. So it's like celestial, this incredible photo moment that needs to be posted immediately. And she paid like a tour guide to take her there. She got in the line. And then she realized that they just hold a mirror under the camera, and that is how they simulate a reflective lake underneath you at the arch. And there is no lake. And it's all an illusion.
What?
Can you believe that?
That is a terrifying story.
Witchcraft, first of all.
Yeah.
And secondly, like, at what point are you like, it's all a lie?
Yeah.
It's all a lie.
Oh my God. I do feel though, and I'm going to get into my inspiration now.
Okay.
Because speaking of what you were saying of when your stories reflect the amount of fun you're actually having, you and I, the reason we're hungover.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Explained ourselves. People God, just think you're drinking alone in a garage. No.
Alcoholic.
I'll tell you now, that's not. We were together.
We were together.
We were together.
As we always are. We showed up in matching outfits.
In the
outfits.
Same outfit. Oh, in the same God. Fucking outfit.
That actually made me feel sick. Yeah. I didn't even want to acknowledge it because I was like, it's too much. We've gone too far.
We both saw each other and rolled our eyes.
Yeah.
That's how we greeted one another. Yeah. Last
it was
night.
Like, hey.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
The wedges as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like matching outfit, like you were in a white top and a jean where it's like, okay, but they look kind of different. It was like we were both in
black,
corseted,
full
yeah.
length, lace up, corseted
yeah.
situations with yeah. like a mule
yeah.
wedge.
Crazy. Hair in a slick back bun.
Oh, hair in a slick back bun. We the exact same hairstyle.
Yeah. Same also like height of the bun.
Yes. You
know, not a low bun, not a high bun,
no,
a middle
mid bun.
Bun.
Mid bun. Mid bun. Mid bun. And that, you know, that's always a decision for me.
Me
it's
too.
Like, how high do we go with this?
Yeah.
Do we want to go for like Bella Hadid? I feel like it's doing too much.
Yeah.
Let's keep it low key. Let's go for the mid.
Yeah. And low bun can sort of sometimes give, I don't know, Lauren Conrad.
Yeah, it really does. You've got the wispy parts like coming out. You kind of look like disheveled and not always in a fun way.
No, exactly.
It's like I just stepped out for an errand and here I am in my low bun.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I'm a mother of four.
Yes. A single mom who works too hard and loves her kids and never stops. No, that is what it is.
Yeah.
But
we actually had so much fun. We had so much fun.
It was one of the greatest events I've been to.
Yeah. A beautiful, beautiful dinner/album listening party for the new album from this sweet as pie DJ duo, Eli and Fur.
What would you say? Like ethereal house?
Yeah.
That's how you describe it.
Yeah, it's a really lovely way.
Yeah. They are the ones to listen to. I like can't wait to see them play. But it was their album listening party, so we're hearing their project for the first time, and it was super intimate. It was very, very small.
Yeah.
Maybe like 15 people max.
Yeah.
And Ivana and I were like, well, we feel honored to be here. We don't know how we scored the invite, but very quickly kind of devolved into just a friend's hang.
Yeah.
The professionality stripped away so quickly.
Well, we got into bikinis and we jumped in the pool. So
yeah.
That'll stop the professional networking portion of the evening.
Well, I feel like that's an important thing to explain about like LA events culture. Always at a mansion in the hills.
Yeah, always.
Always, without question, there's always some estate involved. And like the houses you see on Selling Sunset are pretty much exclusively reserved for what feels like events like these.
Yeah, I'm like, that's where we are on any given Tuesday night.
Yes. And one of these homes walking around being like, wow, infinity pool, like marble countertop kitchen island.
Yeah, love. There are always statuettes of like jungle cats.
Why are there always wild animals as statues?
There are.
There's got to be a wolf.
I know. A puma under a white coffee table.
Yes. Yeah. Always a puma.
Yeah.
But along with a puma, there's always a pool.
Yeah.
And never once has anyone ever got in the pool.
No. Imagine at the Gucci event.
We're like, you know what? I'm kind of hot. I could take a dip. Yeah. Actually.
What if we took a dip?
The pool filled with petals. The Gucci event. We're just like, let me strip down.
Now that I really think about it, I think about how even the Aloe Mansion, no one in the pool. Not a soul in the pool.
And that's in the middle of the day, like heat of summer.
Yeah.
Not a soul in the pool.
No.
Yeah. And I think that is honestly what's missing. Because that sense of authenticity that comes from like being vulnerable in a pool, in a borrowed bikini as we were.
I know.
So this incredible entertainment hotshot was hosting this dinner and they were basically like, go back into the pool house. There's a ton of discarded bikinis in there.
Yeah.
You can pick from an array. It's like walking into a sea folly and just going crazy.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of a swim and then we just like got out and went. I slithered back into my skin tight corseted dress and we went on our merry way.
I know. And I'm here now. I haven't even showered since.
Were you going to talk about the cake?
Yeah, the cake. That's my inspiration.
Is that your inspiration?
That is my inspiration. It is a little LA anecdote, which I feel like, you know, not to be a podcast like about LA.
I know. And we always teeter on the edge of doing that. I know. We're so close to doing that.
I don't think there's anything cool about where we live necessarily that's like cooler than other places. We have to laugh.
No, it's so incredibly meta.
Yeah.
In so many ways. Yeah. And it is, for the most part, like what you hear where you're like, no, but I surely people aren't doing this. And it's like, well, for the most part, they are.
They are. It's the breathwork classes.
Yeah.
Like with as a third date. So this event, someone came out with a sweet, huge, beautiful, like white icing, red velvet cake, birthday cake. Then the cake got taken away promptly after. And everyone joked all together like, haha, it's not like anyone's going to actually eat that.
Yeah, it was just so confronting for a cake to be delivered, the candles to be blown out, and then it to be immediately removed from the scene.
Yeah.
It felt very much like you can't have your cake and eat it too in this goddamn city.
I know.
Can have a cake, but my God.
And you and I always talk about all the rotting bread baskets at all the restaurants and like how many times we're at events like these where they're coming around with like some of the most beautiful, like, you know, bruschetta on toasted sourdough and because of that sourdough it won't be touched.
No,
it won't.
It's like, no, I couldn't possibly.
Sweet green filled me to the eyebrow. I can't.
Yeah. And it does make a lot of sense that a cake should be removed. And this is obviously what ended up happening, is that they cut the cake into individual slices and served it.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually a far more democratic kind of noble way to go about cutting the cake, because as we know, cutting the cake usually becomes the responsibility of the cake receiver, who doesn't want to work on their birthday for one, does not want to be put to work, and is suddenly at the whims of the individual caloric intakes of everyone at the table. So it's like Yolanda Hadid style, someone being like, just a little bit less, perfect, thank you, and then eats like one bite and leaves it anyway, and then some who like want a big meaty chunk. And just to kind of like divide that shit up equally, I think like just brings a lot of peace to everyone. And we were all delivered our equal shares of cake.
Our sweet little slices.
Yeah.
I loved it.
So did I. It was honestly incredible. And we're both going to cake season right now. Your birthday.
I know. Then
is
yours.
2 days away.
Truly. Yeah.
And mine is like a month.
Yeah. Doesn't feel like it, I gotta say. But I'm famously canceling my birthday this year.
Yeah, it's been a big birthday year for you.
Yeah, I think I don't need another party where people celebrate me. I think I'm actually full up on those. I really feel the idea of a third.
Being center of attention is a lot. I mean, you were just telling me that your videographer made like a 3-hour movie of the Serbian wedding.
There will be, yeah, it will be delivered to us shortly.
It's like, I don't need to see my face that much.
No, I can't even imagine what's on there. They were with me from 7 a.m. There is some footage that is going to be truly haunted footage of the first take of the makeup before I toned it down because I had a full black smoky eye.
You didn't. You looked perfect.
The photo honestly didn't. It looked way crazier.
That's because it looks great in photos.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. But I couldn't do the thick strip lash. A thick black strip lash.
It looked perfect. Chris couldn't even tell it was a lash. I showed him the pic. It's you and your own
It's
thoughts.
My own. No, I understand. But I also did appear before Steven's older sister and she went,
oh, you got a gasp?
I got a gasp.
Yeah. I mean, there's a supportive really gasp. No coming back from no the coming gasp. There's no coming back from
a gasp.
Yeah.
A gasp? gasp?
Yeah. And not a good gasp.
No.
Like,
oh my God, ooh. You look the best you've ever looked.
Tight whistle. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Gasp. Yeah. No, no, no.
It's tough. Wait, was your inspiration the Santorini girls?
No. My inspiration was actually that we are in big back to school energy.
Yeah.
And a friend of a friend has just started a corporate job. I caught up with her. I was hearing about it. I think to just hate something so unabashedly, so unreservedly, there's just something really special about that. I think as women, we say like, it's an adjustment period. And I think that if I give it a couple weeks, it'll probably mellow out. You're always looking for the goddamn silver lining. And sometimes it's just a thundercloud. And she was literally like, I hate this. I'm struggling. I don't know if how much longer I can do this. This is the worst thing I've ever done. Like, absolutely miserable. And that to me felt really inspiring. I was like, be real with it, baby.
Yeah.
Give it to me straight.
I love that because there really is. It's like it is the correct thing, the appropriate thing to always follow that up with like a, but I'm fine and it'll be fine. It's all going to be great. And I'm sure it's temporary. And
yes,
to just leave it hanging in the air of like, I'm so unhappy. I hate all of this.
Yeah.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Throw caution to the wind. Be real. I found it really inspiring. I was like, you know what? Sometimes things just are what they are. It is what it is. It's not going to be the best night of your life always. You're going to take a photo and it's going to fuck up your memories of that day forever.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Just ride the wave.
Which is really, I mean, the whole thing.
Post-wedding.
Yeah.
Do you feel a little bit like dissociated from your appearance now because of like how many photos you were taking, how much you were forced to look at yourself? Kind of like pop star style?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, completely. Well, mostly I just like could not care.
Mm.
I
saw the light leave your eyes at one point. Maybe 2 hours into the photo taking.
Yeah. It was, I've never experienced anything like that. And we had to take, it's like customary. You take a photo with every single guest that attends the wedding.
We were
posted up Santa Claus style.
No, it was Taylor Swift meet and greet.
Yeah, it was.
It was like filter them through. And at the very end, I don't know whose idea this was, but one of the kids, one of us American attendees of your friends was like, guys, wait, we should get a photo with them. Why haven't we got a photo with them? And we were among the very last to go. And you could see that you guys were just not there.
No, I was happy to get a photo with all of you. I was happy to get a group shot. I would have gone on if I needed to, you know, you've summoned the strength from somewhere.
But it was just insane to see people just like shuffling in.
Yeah.
Not a word spoken, getting their photo and leaving. It's like you just become a commodity at that point.
I know. I know. And I do feel I just have to say, like, there is such relief that I will only ever have to do that once in this way. Like that the period of my life in which I am anticipating a wedding is over.
How does that feel?
Incredible.
Whoa.
Incredible. And that they all went, like, I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. I have some regrets. you know, the money came and the money went.
Oh, but yes.
I can't actually say regrets
over spending the money?
Oh, no. It's more just like, I mean, I don't think there's any way to avoid it, which I've heard from everyone. It's like there comes a point where it's like the caterer is like, well, actually, because of this and this and this, it's actually going to be like $2,000 more. And then it just all becomes Monopoly money because it's like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to serve food at the wedding.
Yeah.
Like, what option do I have? So in that way. But again, I don't have regrets. It's just, it just feels like true relief. True, true, true relief.
Freedom.
It happened. I loved them. They were amazing. I felt moved. My family had the time of their lives. I feel closer to all of my friends for the ways that they showed up, really. And now comes the part where I'm just like very excited to be back in real life. And yeah. Keeping up with people in a normal way where every conversation also isn't like, are you so excited?
Countdown's on.
Countdown's on. We can't wait to see. Like, yeah. It.
And like to be, in quotation marks, a bride for so long. I mean, you got engaged September 22. September
21?
2022.
No, 2022. Yeah. Yeah.
So like 2 years of being a bride and anticipating this and like
engagement party in 2023.
Yeah. Bachelorette in 2023. Yeah. And then the two wedding. Like it is such a long time to like have to kind of be on as a center of attention.
Yeah.
It's because we get one day a year.
Yeah.
Birthday.
And can you believe that mine is in 2 days?
I don't.
After all of this.
It's a cruel twist
of
fate.
Maybe I should just reschedule my birthday to like March. Maybe I'm going to celebrate my half birthday.
Well, we have an incredible friend, Abby, who is rescheduling her birthday.
Oh my God, right.
She was born on January 1st.
I know.
It's rough. And she is rescheduling to June 1st.
I love that.
Like a full rebrand, like telling friends and family, like, hey, I don't want to hear anything about you. Yeah, from because January 1st, it's like people are going dry Jan. They're on their diets. They're like, the party's over.
Yeah.
And it's not coming back for you.
No. It's cold.
Dead
cold.
Yeah. And it's like, you've just had your presents.
Yeah.
You don't get any more.
5 days ago, you opened all of those. Yeah. You want more?
Yeah, you greedy little fuck.
And it doesn't even matter if someone does give you more. It's colored by what they just gave you 5 days ago.
That's so true.
It's tainted.
Yeah, it's like, you also go, like, I find this already in anticipation of my birthday. Like, you kind of become numb to presents. Like...
You're like, you get so many.
In a nutshell, the most privileged thing I've ever said. This is to say, because I buy myself things that I want, outside of like very expensive things, obviously.
365.
365 presents.
Yeah.
No, because I buy myself things I want, like with the exception of like expensive things. I mean, I'm like, I'm not one to just like ball out in that way.
Yeah.
I just am kind of like, what do I want? What do I want? Like, really, what do I want enough to like ask someone? And now I'm getting into the way it's like, I want a watch, but I'm so far in the rabbit hole that like now the watches I want are all around the $1,500 to $1,800 mark.
Of course.
And I'm like, how did I get here? Like, yeah. it's too much. And it's like, not necessary, and to wear that, I would feel very nervous.
Yeah.
What's going on? No, and who is no even going to buy this for me?
Yeah. You listening, Chris?
Oh. He is listening is the thing.
I know.
And he can't afford that.
No. I thought you were going to say 15,000. And I wasn't going to blink an eye. I was going to sit here and I was going to go, of course.
Is that post-wedding? You're like 15,000?
I'm like 15,000. Chump change. Oh my God. That's nothing. That's something that one can find on the ground in Hollywood.
No. I don't think I could, like, in my right mind, spend $15,000 on, like, a piece of jewelry.
No, I don't think I don't think I could either. Like, I'm realizing now, are pretty frugal. We are not buying expensive.
We are not. But it's because we've been so poor.
Yeah.
You can't ever shake that feeling. Once you've been there, it's hard to shake.
Steven caught me. We had, like, a 6.5-hour layover in the Paris airport. And Steven, at one point, picked up my phone and he saw what I had been looking up. He read my phone. Which was a Google thing asking Google, how much savings do you get buying designer bags in Paris?
Yeah, I looked up how much is the VAT.
How much is the VAT
return?
Yeah. Like, yes. Really, how much is it? And it, honestly,
20%.
It's 20%. It's a lot. It is a lot. Yeah. It is a lot, especially for a very expensive bag.
For people who don't know, basically, you don't have to pay tax on any bag you buy overseas. So you can go to the airport and get refunded on your tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's cheaper to buy designer in Europe.
It like literally is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all made there. Like, it's all imported into the US. So it's just, it's all around cheaper, better. So I looked that up and then but he was like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? I was It's like, are you going to buy a designer bag?
Is daddy going to take me to Prada?
Yeah. And I was like, no, you're right. Like, I can't buy a Kelly, a Birkin, because I don't want to.
Well, people don't even know. You have to spend the fucking amount at Hermes to justify buying. You have to spend 35K or whatever at Hermes in just regular purchases to earn the right to spend 35K on a Birkin that you're already on a wait list for. And at that point, we see you carrying the Birkin and we're like,
fool.
Lame.
Yeah. Fool alert.
I know. I can't, you know what? That is one of my most seminal interviews, I think, Jane Birkin. And all I can think about is how she got nothing from that bag. Ivana's shaking her head for the audiences, for the listener. Shaking her head.
Why does everything come back to a business contract?
She got no cut. She designed that bag on the back of like an airplane sick bag sitting next to the founder of Hermes. And they named it after her. She got nothing. She got a lifetime supply of Birkins. But it's like, how many tote bags does one need?
Her taking them all to the real.
Yes.
To sell.
She was carrying one and it was so beat up. It was like covered in stickers and badges and just like it had been through the ringer.
I love that. That is chic. Because also she may not have gotten the money, but she's an icon. And the two we're talking about today, the two profile subjects, if you forgot what this whole thing is about.
These two got the money and they're icons.
And they're icons.
They got it all.
We're talking about icons today.
But also, I feel like if you're a good-looking straight man, there's really no other option than having it all. Am I right?
No. No.
How often do we refer to women and being like, you can have it all? Is it because men truly have it all? And we're like, you can too, but we can't really? I'm also watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now.
Amazing.
And Adrienne's tagline is, having it all is easy if you work hard for it. I think about it every episode.
That's
I think,
so
what does that mean?
I love Adrienne.
I love
She's also too. So much richer than all the other girls. And you can tell the difference. There's another. Have you met Dana yet?
Oh, I've met Dana, who talks about her $25,000 sunglasses.
$25,000?
Yeah.
These are $25,000?
Points to her sunglasses. Can you believe it? $25,000?
I know.
And then like another housewife iconically is just like, people with a lot of money don't really talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth.
And they don't really spend that kind of money on sunglasses.
Why on earth would you spend that kind of money on sunglasses? It's like losing value faster than a car.
Yeah.
You take those off the lot. You put them
on.
You
look down in the wrong angle once and they're scratched.
That's
the whole fronts are scratched.
Oh,
I've scratched every pair I've ever had.
I've lost every pair I've ever had.
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous. Okay. To get back to men who love sunglasses, actually.
Yeah.
Not to transition,
yeah.
But they are always in sunglasses, these two.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
Are they not on the cover in sunglasses?
I swear to God. I think they are.
This photo, it's Brad Pitt sipping tea inside in a robe with sunglasses on. Look at this. You see that? Unnecessarily sunglasses inside.
Yeah, of course.
Full Mike Posner style.
I have to tell you something.
What?
My dandruff is back in a big way.
No.
I know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, I have something to share with you that may help. Do you remember when my dandruff came back and I tried everything but using a dandruff product? Like, I even got those, like, towel headband things to wash my face because I assumed it was my cleanser. Like, I just did everything but go to the source, which is, I gotta say, Noumi's Dandruff Defense. Dude, it is so good. It's light. It's like you leave, your hair is clean, but it doesn't feel weighed down the way that some shampoos and conditioners does. But it also doesn't strip it of its natural oils. I understand that's a lot for it to achieve, but it really pulls it off.
No, and I have heard that to get rid of dandruff, it has to be antibacterial, antifungal. And I know those words obviously don't sound sexy, but the results certainly are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this dandruff shampoo and conditioner are packed with amino acids. They enhance shine, protect hair from all environmental stresses, which is so clutch, especially if you live in like a very, very dry environment. You kind of just need, summer sun, winter cold, you name it. You just kind of need that extra help. And it has just like the formula. It's amazing. It is lightweight. It doesn't like bog your hair down, but at the same time, it's shiny, voluminous. It is incredible. There's argan and tea tree oil that soothes the scalp. You know, it's scalp first all the way. Everything starts with the scalp.
Everything when I tell you. Okay, how do I get it? I need it.
Okay,
You can go straight to newmehair.com. That's NUMEHAIR.com. And if you want a little discount, put the code UNCOVER at checkout. That's UNCOVER, UNCOVER at checkout for 15% off. And honestly, Ivana, while you're there, I know I'm keeping you for so long, but their hair straightener, $100 and incredible. The best one I've ever used. And I've used a lot. As you know, my hair is perpetually straight. I will not live any other way. So I cannot recommend this brand enough. I absolutely love it. And the product itself, Dandruff Defense shampoo and conditioner, dude, you got to get on it immediately.
Okay. It's time to be flake free. I'm ready to go.
NewMeHair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER.
I'm on it. We are talking about George Clooney and Brad Pitt, Hollywood's BFFs. And it feels fitting that this is the episode that we've chosen for our great BFF reunion, mm-hmm. especially after we spent all last night really talking to this DJ duo about like how like I could never do this alone. Like this, yeah. It is so special to have a friend in arms.
Do you want to know another one of the most inspiring things I heard last night was what? That one of the DJs, and I think about this all the time, performers getting their period.
Yeah. Like I had my period on my honeymoon.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I always think about like, how is Taylor Swift like performing 6 shows at the O2 when she has her period? But one of the DJs has like endometriosis and gets crippling like period pain. And so her DJ partner will go on alone on those nights.
Imagine listeners tuning in at one point to me alone. And I'm like, I'm taking it solo today.
I think they'd turn it right off.
No. You're like, we wouldn't have a listener left.
They delete the Spotify app.
It's gone. Unsubscribed. Unfollowed. That's just blocked. Like, reported. Deleted. Enough. We forgave you for the technical difficulties. We cannot forgive you for this.
Oh my God. But no. Hollywood's BFFs,
Hollywood's George BFFs. And Brad. George and Brad.
They've been friends for like 30 years.
I know. They're in their 60s now, which feels shocking to me.
What is it about men? I mean, look.
Would you bone them?
Okay, you know that I object to the word bone. It's my least favorite word that you use.
Sorry.
I mean, look, dude. We've got to be frank here. Both. Obviously. Both at the same
no,
time.
No, not at the same time. Just like
guys. You think I have?
No. Both at the same time would be the great.
Just like me coming in on the pod. So what inspired me this week is God, I got Eiffel Towered by Brad and George. Pig on the spit. We're getting demonetized as we speak.
Oh my God.
No, but I think I would walk in and Chris would be cheering for me. Either one of them like glanced my way.
I agree. I think you'd be a fool to say no.
Also, I think that these men, their effect on men is even more powerful than their effect on women.
Yeah.
Like these men are gods to men.
And there are so few out there like that. It's like, and they're usually sports stars.
That's true.
Because they can admire their ability separate from their beauty.
Do you know what's incredible about that and men in general is that they don't like, you know how with women, we're like, okay, Dua Lipa is like the most beautiful person on the planet. And we're like, I heard threads in the ice in the temples and that's how she gets the look, whereas like men are looking at athletes and being like, oh damn, he's hunky, and that's the end of it. They don't have to like relate to them, they don't have to like share some type of lore of how they got to where they are, like they just like can love. Is that on deep internalized misogyny and innate competition between women? Probably.
Could have something to do with that.
Can to open another day.
I believe. For next time. And it is really sweet. The whole energy of this profile is incredibly wholesome. Catching these people in like a time capsule way of where they are now at this peak, sort of their lives. Not necessarily their careers. Their career peak came earlier, but they are just...
They're at their happiest probably right now.
It seems like it. It really, really does. And it's...
And they're being very honest. Like, this was almost inside baseball-esque of, like, pulling back the curtain on the inner workings of the industry. Yeah. And, like, I mean, we'll get to it, but it's calling people out by name and being like, oh, my God, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Which, what the hell?
I know.
On the cover of GQ, you're just, like, literally...
coming for people's throats.
I know. And I think it's because there's nothing anyone could do to de-pedestalize them at this point. I mean, Brad Pitt, let's address it up front, has had his fair share of controversies when it comes to allegations of abuse and the kids. And there is something very messy going on in terms of his, you know, decoupling of Angelina Jolie. And the details of those, I'm sure, will come out in the next 5 to 10 years. But we don't have them right now. So all we know is just that it's messy.
Yeah, and that the kids have been removing the Pitt from their their names.
I know, which is brutal. So maybe he's not the happiest he's ever been, but he does have more money.
He's dating like a 30-year-old.
I know, who looks very similar to Amal.
Okay, did I say that to
you? Yeah, you said that to
me. Okay, okay.
Yeah, they have been double dating.
Like, we're so in sync.
Yeah.
They look exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. They've been double dating, these two, with their honeys. George is the father of twins, and they pop up actually in this profile, but it just seems like they're truly, you know, they're entering the sunset of their lives with a lot of peace in their hearts. Mm-hmm. So the headline is George Clooney and Brad Pitt are Hollywood's BFFs. Then they've spent 3 decades living intertwined lives at the inconceivably glamorous height of Hollywood. Now, having crossed the threshold of 60, they're more comfortable than ever throwing bombs, dispensing hard-won wisdom, and yes, arguing about who had the better mullet in the 80s. It's written by Zach Baron.
Very famous writer.
Yeah. He is like the man profile king.
Yes.
He's profiled Kanye, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Justin Bieber, Pharrell. I mean,
one of those where he does so many cover stories that his Instagram is almost primarily just shots of his cover stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Christian Bale. He did that iconic Rob Pattinson GQ cover story that we covered with Kristen Stegamola.
Yeah.
Go back and listen. It's so funny.
Yeah, it is so funny. And he is so funny. He is I adore his writing.
Yeah.
And it's very real and it puts you in the room with these people. And in many ways, this is what the true delight of this profile is like, what if I went and I stayed at Chateau Miraval in France and could see what it looks like to be Brad Pitt and George Clooney, George Clooney, who has a house 9 minutes down the road.
I'm just like, how did this profile come to be? Like, how did they get these two to appear together, have it all shot in Southern France?
I think it has to do with their movie. That they're in a movie together for the first time.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the part that we never like to talk about is
you
that...
You saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
Like, I think it has to do with the movie they're promoting, yeah. You dumb bitch.
But also just the fact that people... I mean, to talk about what's going on today, we have to talk about history. And this is the thing. This profile came out very recently. So we're not going to discuss what's going on today. You know what's going on today. You read the news.
Do I? Do I? I think we're in an election year and that's the best I got for you.
That's fine. That's mostly true. And I want to hearken back before we get into the profile to the last time these two really joined forces. And it was in 2001, Ocean's 11, which I haven't revisited that movie in a while. And this profile forced me to go back. Almost watched it. Mm-hmm. Almost watched it before I came here. Ran out of time. But this is a movie that starred Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Matt Damon, Julia Roberts.
And more, though, right?
And more. Yeah. And more. Those are just the top bills.
Yeah.
All the biggest movie stars of their respective time, sort of. Julia Roberts famously was the most highly paid movie star, like, all through the 90s.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted her. George Clooney, Brad Pitt. I mean, all of them broke out. It was directed by Steven Soderbergh of Sex Lives and Videotapes and the famed Julia Roberts vehicle, Erin Brockovich, which I'm obsessed with. And I mean, they were hot. They were fun. The movie was dynamic action, but they came to life on screen and everyone was like, oh my God, there's more star power in this movie than has ever existed in the world.
Brad Pitt chewing in every goddamn scene.
I know. With that jaw.
With that jaw.
With that jaw. Just, he could chew through a brick.
I mean, invented mewing.
Yeah.
Like, mewed before the mew even mewed.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the mother.
The mother of mewing.
Yeah. Exactly. And I understand now why. Their kind of origin story is that they both auditioned for Thelma and Louise, knowing that it was going to be this big blockbuster, most likely. Brad Pitt ended up getting it. George Clooney couldn't bring himself to watch it for a while after.
I'm obsessed. Two years he didn't watch that movie because he didn't get the role.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, but also he's not like, he was not a young buck at that time. He was like in his 30s.
Yeah.
And like the idea was that it was like a young, impressionable, hot man. Young, dumb, and...
Well, they're 3 years apart, so...
That's 3 years apart.
They're 3 years apart, so it's not... Oh. Yeah.
Brad does look younger, but maybe it's just the colored hair versus the grays.
I think so. I think it's the gray. Oh. George has embraced his age. Brad is fighting against that dark night. Oh,
he famously has the best facelift in Hollywood. He has like what people describe as like a mid facelift. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
It's where you don't so there's different types of facelifts. There's the ponytail, there's the full, but the mid is where they just kind of pull the midsection of the face back. Mm-hmm. So you get a very natural looking forehead that all stays. Maybe you'll get a bleph, you know, some skin removed around the eye, but look, you're just getting like a very minimal thing. And Brad, before and after facelift, that's a big shift. That is a big difference.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There has been a big... Where did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sit within that? Was that after a facelift?
I think that was actually before. Because when was that?
2018?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? No. It was more recent than that, wasn't it? Wasn't it after the pandemic or like...
2019.
Yeah, I think that was pre-facelift. But there's been like a tightness that has happened. But I mean, look, all the men and all the...
They all got
just
it.
Just a little scalpel here, a little scalpel there.
Yeah, yeah. And these are two men from, I would say, humble beginnings. Clooney is from Lexington, Kentucky. Pitt is from Shawnee, Oklahoma. They have, you know, they were not one foot in the industry. Dad's a director or mom's like a senior producer at some huge like Paramount. You know, it's just
there's no nepo.
No, they came in and they had what they had, and what they had was charm, beauty, charisma, and talent. Both of them, some of the most talented actors of our generation, and we have a lot of talented new gen actors, but they're not stars like how these men are. And I think that like bastion of Hollywood stars will die with them, not to get so dark.
No, I think you may be right. The studio doesn't put the oomph behind these youngins as it used to. I mean, there's like a very much like throw you to the wolves mentality if you're not performing in the way that we want to. I actually, from a conversation last night, discovered from someone who works in market research for movies that if a movie doesn't test well on like the first screening, they immediately take away the spend on marketing.
That's so dark.
If it doesn't test well with that initial like focus group audience, they literally relegate it to the boondocks, and it will have no spend behind it. It'll have no support.
That makes so much sense, because there are so many movies that come out where I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, when?
When?
Yeah.
How, this just like came from nowhere.
Think about the movie like Drive Away Dolls or something. Yeah. Like by the Coen brothers with Margaret Qualley. Like that came and went.
No one saw.
No one saw.
Versus Barbie. Of like, you were hit in the face
with a pink spatula.
Yeah. Day after day.
God, I know. That was a time, wasn't it? That press tour.
Yeah.
That really beat us down.
I know. It did. It was unescapable.
2023 was like kind of a weird year.
Objectively, yeah. So. We're still recovering. Nothing will be clear until 2025.
We have come out the other side now, and that 2024 feels like the dust is settling, and we can be like, I hate my corporate job, but I'm doing it, dude.
How everyone has lived for all of time. But not these two men. Where we open, where we find them, is at Chateau Miraval. He is Brad Pitt. I have to be specific here because there's two of them.
There's two of them.
Yeah, and there's a writer. Zach writes, some of the buildings here at Chateau Miraval, where Brad Pitt is just now tumbling out from wherever he spent the night, cup of coffee in hand, are nearly 200 years old. And the laugh that opens this piece, rings off the stonework. It rings through the terraces of olive trees. It ruffles the stone pots of lavender and rosemary. It sends the literal butterflies alighting on the literal pink blossoms into the air, up towards the provincial sky, which is the same soft blue as it was when Matisse painted it. It echoes off the lake and the vineyards and the ancient chapel and the black Mercedes convertible top down that is now arriving with George Clooney at the wheel. black sunglasses, black polo, loafers. When he sees Pitt, he yells, "Brother!" And then you hear the laugh again. He 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 he. I mean, it's a painting. It's a Matisse.
It is a Matisse. It's a masterpiece.
He goes on. Pitt and Clooney, they're used to living like this, surrounded by beauty, in majestic isolation. They've been friends for nearly a quarter century, in part because of what they share, an understanding of where the road that every young actor dreams of walking, that road that represents some intoxicating combination of money and attention and success, ends up. It ends up here, in a place a regular human could barely describe. Trust me, I'm trying. Let alone relate to. What else can you do but laugh?
I mean, this is an incredible intro.
Yeah.
Just the aside of like, trust me, I'm trying to capture how beautiful this place is.
Yeah.
How magical their existence is.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm failing because it so eclipses anything you can imagine.
How can you?
And in the same breath, it also feels like this money. No actors nowadays will like make this amount of money, the amount of money they have made.
No, and also their movies were huge blockbuster hits and they were critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Like Ocean's 11 was a Steven Soderbergh movie. I mean, Brad Pitt's worked with Quentin Tarantino many times. George Clooney. Like they've worked with some of the most incredible directors alive.
And they make a lot of money for other people.
Yeah. And there's no question of like, there's no conversation of like they sold out or like look at them doing that embarrassing Netflix rom-com. That's not how movies functioned at that time. We were at a peak and a prime.
Hey, don't you come for my girl Anne Hathaway like that.
Sorry.
You put down the knife.
Hers was on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Famously. I know.
I mean, Nicole Kidman's really having a moment right now.
Yeah, hers. She had a Netflix.
She has a Netflix. It's coming very soon.
Yeah. Right.
That perfect. Perfect.
Murder.
Strangers.
Stranger. Yeah.
Wedding.
Mm-hmm. The perfect stranger's murder is wedding.
Whatever Diet Prada is promoting right now.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. So, I mean, Clooney's just arrived from his house, which is, again, 9 minutes down the road. I mean, it is the stuff that we talk about where it's like, imagine if we all, you know, had a vacation house in the Catskills. Like, well, all his friends together. And, like, they just get to live everyone's dream all the time.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there was a very brief reference to Angelina Jolie. And he skirts around it very quickly. He references Miraval as the property that Brad bought with Angelina in 2011. And then as of 2021, they have been in a bitter and extensively litigated transaction over, like, selling the property.
Yeah. She sold her half and he like bought her out. But I think it's something.
It hasn't ended there.
Yeah, it has not ended there. And then Brad and George sort of start talking about, you know, the stuff that rich men talk about. They're like the Portuguese stonemasons that are maintaining the terraces and the lake that Brad built here.
And then Clooney mutters to himself, this guy enlarges his lake. Who does that? And then Brad basically responds by being like, you bought your house online.
Yeah.
Sight unseen, like a top from Nasty Gal.
Yeah.
You checked out on your French estate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, should I do it, guys? What do you think?
I'm going to do it.
I'll do it. Oh, my God. If I don't wear it, I don't wear it.
Yeah. Whatever. Now we get to what they're promoting. Their first movie together since Ocean's 11. Oh, wait. No. I mean, they also were in Burn After Reading, which is truly one of my favorite movies. And now they're reuniting again for Wolves, which is like a clever little, you know, it's perfect for them. It's an action film. It's a comedy. They're two sort of hitmen that end up having to work together in like a motley way.
So it's Mr. Smith and Smith.
Mr. and Mr. Smith.
Two men who play rival fixers hired for the same job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's a log line we've heard before.
It is. It really is. You're right.
Where Brad and Angelina met.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought this was so funny because it's like they're, you know, they're stars. This is what they're doing now. He gets into their age. And Clooney says, I remember when I was 20 years old and I heard someone died at 63. And I was like, they lived a good life. Which is so true. More and more. I'm like, 70? Too young.
Oh my God. I remember thinking like, okay, by like 27, it's going to be this, that, and the other. By 30, I'll for sure
have three kids.
Have a Pulitzer.
Yeah.
more achievement based. I feel yeah. like it's always been for me.
Yeah.
And then here I am staring down the barrel with an empty hand.
Not a single pulser in this house.
Not one.
Look around.
I can't
look
around. See one.
I can't see one.
Do you see any trophies? Trophy cabinet there and empty.
Yeah.
Just glass.
You're right.
I had an incredible thing the other day that it was like Billie Eilish was in a glass closet. Isn't that the funniest thing?
That's good.
About her sexuality.
Yeah, that's a good
look. It was like, babe, the closet was glass. We could all see you.
That is a funny little joke. I like
know.
That.
Yeah. You know, it's the lesbians online. They always get
nice.
Me.
Nice. They do. They're good. Zach sort of, you know, addresses the elephant in the room of like, they live a good life. You know, they, Brad asks if they want to go down to the summer kitchen, which is like a beautiful outdoor kitchen on a terrace. My absolute dream.
Okay. Categorizing your kitchens by season.
The summer kitchen.
The spring kitchen.
The winter kitchen.
The pre-fall kitchen.
Yeah. The equinox kitchen.
It's you know, incredible. Equinox has really gone downhill. They took away the keels in the bathrooms.
What?
Yeah. There's nothing left there for anyone.
What's there? Just blue bottles, like the scary blue bottles of like unmarked.
Yeah, hotel shampoo. Of like, what is this actual gasoline?
Everyone's feeling it. The economy. But not Brad and
but not Brad and,
not
George.
Brad and George. Zach sort of flexed here in addressing the fact that he has spoken to both of them, interviewed both of them in the past.
He loves to do this. He's done this in other profiles with Red. Like yeah. the last time I caught him,
yeah,
we were bowling together in Dumbo.
Yeah.
And now here we are in the south of France.
I know. I know. Which I'm obsessed with. I'm like, flex if you've got the muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's got them. He's got them. So basically the last time he talked to Clooney, it was during the pandemic and it was on Zoom and sad. And he was like holding his little kid in his lap. And then Pitt was in his little pool house in La Cañada. And they were looking at the view. And now here they are in this like surreal place. And from there, the interview begins.
This is the first time we've done a Q&A, right?
We've done one before. I think Julia Roberts.
No, we haven't done that.
We haven't done that yet?
We have done? No, what? We haven't. We did John Mayer.
John Mayer.
And Playboy.
Right. Right.
That was our only other Q&A. Yeah. And it was so damaging. Yeah. It just needed to be done.
It needed, yeah. It was urgent. And this felt urgent too.
How often do you get two movie stars of their caliber sharing the press cycle?
I know. I know. And they're having so much fun with it, you can tell. We sort of get to know them here. And there's quite a lot of industry talk. So I mean to sound like I'm glazing over a lot of the industry talk, but we do get into the real nitty gritty here, which is basically it's like, you know, George is currently shooting a Noah Baumbach film and he's saying like, you know, I did want to direct at one time, but I have kids now. I'm not going to be away from them for a full year to direct.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to act. Like, I think it's more reasonable, you know, do a shoot. Do the things.
And Brett kind of says the same thing where when he last met Zach, he was like, yeah, I'm just doing one movie a year now. Like, I'm trying to live. And now he's like, I'm doing even less. I'm doing one movie in a year and a half. He was like, I'm really trying to enjoy the people that I love and just living gestures out at the vineyard. I don't know how to not sound cheesy about it, but the air is fresh and grass is green. And I've just become that guy a little bit.
Yeah, and it seems like they are acutely aware of their mortality in some way, where it's like, why wouldn't we enjoy the spoils?
But you showing up at my house and me being like, the air is fresh and the grass is green. And what else is there? You know?
Yeah.
I don't need all of this.
No.
I don't need a $1,900 watch for my 30th birthday. The air is fresh.
And the grass is green.
Yeah.
You have to be in your 60s to make that work. It doesn't read well.
And I think you need to have mass, like, significant wealth to really appreciate the freshness of the air in southern France and the greenness of the grass that is being tended to by a flock of gardeners and high-tech irrigation.
Totally. And they both kind of talk about the fact that like they're both in pretty good shape, but in 20 years they will be 80.
Yeah, it's confronting. How
it is. And it's sort of, there's nothing that can be done really at that point. Like, you know, there are plenty of things. There are people that are fully, you know, independent and thriving into their 90s, I would say. But when you're 80, you're 80. It doesn't matter.
But this is where we kind of like diverge, which I found interesting. So this is Q&A format, right?
Yeah.
You're reading like Zach's question and then Clooney's response, Pitt's response. But we're interrupted here by Amal.
Mm-hmm.
She walks up with George's two twins. Zach describes her as a tall, elegant woman in a white dress. And then Brad says, and this stayed with me, Ivana,
to the twins. Do you guys like animals? We have a bunch of animals over there that need feeding. Donkeys, bunnies, mini horses.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
Yeah.
A little zoo of farmyard animals.
Zoo.
I'd kill a man for a Shetland pony.
So yeah, he is uncle of the year. Like, can Truly. You imagine? So fun. And
they talk about the fashion to Amal. They're like, you never believe what we were wearing in our GQ shoot.
Yeah.
And Brad goes, your man was venturing out. And Amal goes, what did you do? Are you wearing a radical color?
I love that.
And George just goes, I'm too old to care. And Brad responds, that's another thing about getting older. It's too much work to control things. It's better just to slot in some way to the current.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, Amal's funny. When she walks in and she's like, how did it go? And they were like, oh, we're just getting started. And Brad is like, we've just done 8 minutes. And she says, I'm sure that's sufficient. I'm like,
we don't need to hear another word out of you boys. Oh my God. That's the international human rights lawyer jumping out.
I know. So true. How does she do it? I wonder.
I don't even want to think about it. So yeah. Where did that woman come from and where is she going?
Where I know. I would love. I mean,
how did they meet? Do you know that?
I think it might have been at like a gala or something.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, where would their circles intertwine? It's there. And I mean, it seems like he was just smitten.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I get it.
It's cool. It's cool of him. Although I could not do with the press of the time that was like, how refreshing for a man of his age to date an old woman. It's like, what?
Yeah. An old, like, a woman who's never been stepped foot on screen.
Yeah. They love that. Because it feels like, it's like, you know, look at him being prudent.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she's stunning and a catch and incredibly successful in her own right.
Have you seen this kind of discourse about the Bridgerton star dating the 24-year-old boy?
No.
Yeah.
Which Bridgerton star? Now.
You know, the one who plays Penelope.
Oh.
I forget her name.
Right. Who's like randomly 37.
Yeah, she's even 30, though she looks like 38, 12. 39, and he's like 24, 25.
Whoa.
And I get that it's the whole like, you know, men do it all the time. Like, let's stop. But there's a reason that men do it. And it's because like women mature emotionally much faster than a young man. It's the Demi Moore Ashton Kutcher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the Sam Johnson, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
It's just like there's something just not quite right. Can I say that? Is that cancelable? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough.
It's the Cher and the 25-year-old choreographer. It's the 80-year-old Cher.
I know. I don't know. I don't know. I know that it just feels, it just always, and maybe it's just like, maybe we're both prudes, but the age differences when they are really vast do stress me out.
I mean, to be fair, I literally confuse 69 with Eiffel Towering today. Of course. So I don't think I'm a sexpert.
No, no. Despite what you've tried to peddle.
Starfish on the rock. The tides come and they go. And I stay dead still.
God, oh my God, just suctioned.
I dare you peel me off.
I have not heard of starfishing. I have not heard that.
You haven't heard the term starfish?
I hadn't until this moment.
Wait, what?
I hadn't until this moment.
That's crazy.
I hadn't.
I think someone said that to me. They're like, I get the feeling that like you're a starfish. And I was like, you'd be right.
Yeah.
You'd be bang on.
You have an incredible intuition.
What do you call it?
I don't know what that's. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're like, I'm such a hard worker. I can't even relate.
No.
Starfishing is when you just lie there.
Yeah.
It's when you just.
Yeah.
Jesus on the cross style.
Eyes closed.
Yeah.
I like starfishing. That's a nice term. That's a sweet way to think about it.
I know. I feel like we starfish shame far too much.
Yeah.
When we should. Starfish promote.
Yeah, I agree. One of our advertisers.
It's got the word star in it for a reason.
Yeah. You're a star. You're a star.
Star of the show.
I love that.
Anyway.
Okay, we return. They talk about being young and how, you know, sort of making decisions based on like, oh my God, I got offered a lot of money for the very first time. And George Clooney doing Batman and Robin. And
like then, doing a bunch of bad movies.
Yeah. I know, which is so funny. And I get it. I would totally have done I have no integrity. I wouldn't have, you know, I would for sure.
Yeah. And you, and they like, don't say no.
No.
So like George is talking about like out the gate, I guess after ER, like he became hot property and then just kind of took every big check that was thrown at him,
which I love.
And then was just like, okay, well, I think we got to go back to basics and find a good script with a good director. But also like there's this total kind of contention of like, I've never been offered money before. Like I've never been offered anything. Like, yeah, what am I going to do? Turn it down? Who do I think I am?
No, this is huge. And then we also find out that like Brad Pitt sort of like called it on like, you know, how a good movie can turn bad so easily. And yeah, ended up negotiating in his contract for 7, some of the major plot points of the film.
That is fucking crazy. So
it's so cool.
He read the script, obviously fell in love with it, and was really worried that a studio exec, as they often do, would come along and be like, actually, I think we're going to like take the wife's head out of the box.
Yeah.
And he literally wrote into his contract that the wife's head stays in the box.
Yeah.
Like there was another thing. They didn't want him to kill John Doe, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
And it's just, it is like very anticipatory in a way that I'm like, damn, that's so smart. Because
he's like, that's where the grit is. That's where the power lies. Like, yeah. People are going to think about this movie forever based on these details.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that both of them have taste, despite whatever they've been in or whatever, you know, sort of missteps, random movies that ended up not working out. Often that also happens because of a studio executive that's like, we need to make this more accessible. We need to make this funnier. We need to make this whatever. And then it all gets, you know, destroyed. They sort of address they are the last bastion, that it's like,
yeah,
it's way more saturated right now.
Crazy that they call a spade here. That like there is just like too much getting made, and like stars are all competing for like a 1 in a million shot of like being watched on an HBO Max.
Yeah. Yeah. And when they were coming up, that there were a lot less opportunities. There were just objectively less, like less things were being made. Now a million things are being made at all times, but they're all sort of like falling into this, I don't know, ocean. So it is like a drop in the ocean, some of the streaming shows that exist out there, where yeah. It's like, oh my god. And some of the studio shows, like, do you know about the show Mom that ran for like 8 seasons? Alice and Janney.
No.
Like full sitcom running for 8 seasons that I was like, what?
What?
Mom, super successful show.
Like, really successful?
Yeah.
Well, this is what is really, I mean, shakes you to your core here, is that Zach compares a studio like Paramount to now streaming services like Netflix or Apple, and says that Paramount looks like Paramount, a storied, historic studio, which we are a stone's throw away from, by the way, right here. Yeah. It's 5 minutes across the road, is tiny in comparison. That he basically asks the two point blank, do you feel invested if a studio like that was to go down? Like, it must feel pretty emotional to watch something like that fall. And George replies, like, Paramount's one of the great original studios. And he was like, and some of it you have no say in, because it's the business. It's all getting eaten up. It's like, you know, things getting eaten up by Walmart or Amazon or whatever. And he was like, our version of mom and pop shops in a small town is now Paramount. Which is like unbelievable to conceive of. Yeah,
that is, so much has changed. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I wonder what will happen with all of it. I mean, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
I think that's the same thing as media. Like, we have now been asked for the past 5 years, like, where is media going next? And we still can't tell you.
No.
I just love to know who's killing it, like, off the subscription model. Like, if it's still New York Times and New York Magazine that are just like carrying the baton.
Yeah, doing well. Mm-hmm. If anyone's doing well, please come forward.
Or do we need to go into like a, I don't know, like a Disney Plus model where it's like Condé Nast, right, that owns like GQ and Vogue and blah blah blah, and you pay the Condé Nast subscription and you call it a day.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel crazy that you buy a GQ subscription and a Vogue subscription.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's too much.
It's way too much.
No one has that just lying around.
That's $6.99 for every month.
No,
there's got to be another way.
Are you subscribed to Vanity Fair?
I am subscribed to Vanity Fair.
I am.
And when you get the magazines, do you feel alive?
They haven't reached me actually in my new address. I haven't mail forwarded, so I really need to fix that.
Just money burnt.
Yep. I use the archive a lot though.
Yeah,
for totally. A podcast.
For a podcast reasons, it's a business expense.
We do. Yeah. So They're here. We sort of get briefly into Wolfs, which is the movie that they're promoting famously here.
Yeah.
The two of them. That's what it's called. And, you know, that they have sort of like, they talk about oceans and how I thought this was really interesting, like getting into the nitty gritty of the way that they ran scenes and sets and how it is really the ethos of a rising tide lifts all boats, where it helps everyone when you're good and when someone else is good that you give them their time to shine.
Yeah, they have a great quote here, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, hand the scene to the other person.
Hand the scene yeah. to the other person.
That generosity of spirit, Clooney says, but also confidence that you don't have to grab and hold on to everything.
No.
And when you do
make
that,
it about the other person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Which was, I remember, something I was taught in all my improv classes. It's like, you're up here to make your partner look good. You should not be thinking about looking good, because then you come off as fucking just intolerable.
And George tells like an anecdote I've never heard before, which is about Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn and Roman
know.
Holiday. This I almost like highlighted because yeah. it was so meaningful. Basically, Gregory Peck was the star. She was a new actress. And he saw the first cut of the movie and called up the studio and goes, she's going to win an Oscar for this fucking thing. And we're going to look like assholes if it's my name above the title. And it's like introducing Audrey Hepburn. So they changed it. And like, she did win an Oscar. Yeah. She won Best Actress for that film.
I know. And it's so good. She's so good in it.
I've still not seen it. We need to do like a watch.
I highly recommend.
Okay.
That's actually the only thing I could tolerate doing for my birthday, is doing like movies, like everyone comes over and watches movies.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that could be nice. Okay, maybe that's it.
Okay. But you know what I have seen brought up here? Ticket to Paradise.
I haven't Ticket seen that one. To that one I missed.
Paradise. I've wound up talking about this movie in every goddamn episode. But Zach is like asking them the logistics of their friendship. Like, he's like, I have a slightly rude question. Are you guys actually friends? Like,
which I love that he asked.
Yes. So good. And like, do you guys text? Clooney's like, we've been friends for a long time. Like, we're friends. We check in on each other once in a while. They have this cute repartee about like Brad being like, I actually have a restraining order against him. And George being like, I also have a restraining order. And whatever. Cute for them.
Old man humor.
But George was like, yeah, it was like doing Ticket to Paradise with Julie Roberts.
Yeah.
And we were in a helicopter and we'd text Brad. And then Brad interrupts and is like, I would get photos of them with the dumbest looks on their faces at each location they moved to. I didn't even want him. Listen, there's been wonderful experiences from the job. And there's also been really heavy pressures. I once equated celebrity to... one, you're being hunted. And this is clearly something he's brought up to Zach before, right?
Yeah.
In a previous interview. Yeah,
yep. In his 2019, Brad Pitt is still searching. He talks about basically like, yeah, it's like you're a gazelle cut off from the pack and you're being hunted at all times. And I understand a bit of what he's saying of just like the paparazzi chases, like the being skewered, the always living in the public eye, the not being able to... I mean, these two are not able to step out. They are not. They can't just pull a cap over their head and say like, all right, off to Rite Aid I go.
Mm-hmm. Which is such a shame, because one of the greatest joys in life is going to a pharmacy here.
Looking the worst you've ever looked in your life.
Oh my God, a drugstore. Wow, I really just had a stroke.
Oh my God, no. You've been in Europe. Oh my God. No. You're fine.
Me, a gazelle, away from the pack. It's like, can I just get a moment of peace?
Just one.
Just one day where I'm not hounded by fans.
Day in, day out by fans. These are Uggos calling.
My friend George calling me, being like, you described me as a fan on the pod.
The pharmacy. No, I also had to fight the urge not to talk about how, like, in Europe, I never got hungover. Because it's like, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear us.
Oh, yeah. Like, I actually lost weight eating nothing but bread
and
pasta all day.
Yeah, I know.
Why is it that everyone must
like
say
spritz,
it?
A spritz hits different. I couldn't even get it out.
There's nothing like the Aegean Sea.
Yeah.
With a little fucking octopus.
Yeah. We ate so much octopus. It was actually kind of crazy. Too much.
I didn't have a lot of octopus. I won't really? Lie to you. But I did have a lot of spritz.
Yeah, I had a lot of spritzes.
Cheapest spritz, what was it?
I think like €4.
Yeah, €5. Yeah, cheapest spritz.
Yeah,
I was like, that is living, my friend.
Yeah, my God.
And then I found out the average salary in Croatia. You want to know what it is?
What is it?
€12,000 a year, and that's where the €4 spritz
is
coming
from. This is where it all comes crashing down.
Yeah, and they get taxed like crazy.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So happy to come home to the richest state in America.
Thank God for the credit bureau. They're talking about their fame. They're talking about the, you know, just the fact that they can't step out.
And Brad's like, it's not just lonely. It's scary. It can be scary until you find your footing through the field, I guess. And that's why there's real comfort knowing that he's got my back and I got his back.
I mean, truly, they're the only ones that can relate to each other. And they sort of allude to that many times here, where it's like when this is really gripping me by the throat, there are four people that I can call that understand what I'm talking about. And these two are one of them.
Yeah. They relate on the big things and the little things. Like, their careers moved in tandem. Mm-hmm. That Brad had it worse with the fame stuff during, like, Ocean's days. And then, like, Brad's like, yeah, but sometimes I would just take one to the team so the rest of the guys could, like, slip past me in a hotel room. Like, I'd step out and take all the fans on. And then the boys could just kind of sneak away. It's really special that they've, like, found each other in this. And that there's, like, competition, but not really.
Yeah. They do address the fact that the Thelma and Louise, this is where they talk about that.
Yeah.
It's not that necessarily they're up for the same roles all the time, but their caliber of star, there can really only be one of them in a movie like this. Or, you know, Ticket to Paradise, Brad could have done that probably, but George did it instead, or whatever it might be. It just depends on what they want to do at any given moment, and their caliber is one that only very few can occupy.
This really stuck out to me was how they were talking about this high level of fame that they're living, and George is like, I specifically don't want pictures of my kids because we're getting into really hairy territory where there's a photo of my kid out there. They could be snatched and held for ransom. Like, that is a very real scary possibility, which I think people don't really clock onto that much when celebrities are being like, please don't shoot my children. It's really for that reason. It's like, so they won't be snatched.
And there's scary things with AI. Like, it's just like kids' faces should not be readily available on the internet for everyone to see.
1,000%. But Brad is like, everything in your life also becomes a headline. And he makes this joke, I'll just like heal up this knife wound by myself instead of going to the hospital. Compound fracture, like, I'll figure it out because it's just too much work to go get medical attention and then all the other attention that comes with that.
It's sad. And it's really intense. It's like they're weighing these decisions all the time. And I do think, though, all that said, they somehow managed to not come off as extremely douchebags. Out of touch or like complaining. Yes. It's like everyone hates to listen to a star be like, it's so hard.
I mean, look at the Chapel Roan stuff, the backlash against that.
Oh, I know.
Her saying, like, stop harassing me, fans. Everyone being like, you should be lucky to be harassed.
Yeah. You should be so lucky. Mm-hmm. I know. It's really tough to walk that tightrope. It is a razor's edge. And somehow they get away with it. And then we get into the kind of funniest part of this where they call out one Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yes.
I know.
So had you heard about this drama?
No.
Where someone asked Quentin Tarantino, what's the tea with George Clooney these days? And he responded, George Clooney, he hasn't made a good movie since the millennium. Oh, he was like, George Clooney's not a movie star anymore. Like, that guy doesn't make good work.
And George Clooney
addresses it head on.
Yeah, he goes, since the millennium, that's my whole fucking career. Yeah.
Zach knew what he was doing here. Yeah. He led them into it.
I know.
He's talking about the fact Brad has worked with Quentin Tarantino a lot, like how exciting it must be that certain directors gravitate towards you. He's like, George, the Coen directors, like, gravitate towards you. And then George goes, yeah, and also, like, Quentin said some shit about me recently, so I'm a little irritated by him.
Brad Pitt laughs. His little hee hee hee. So, and then Clooney keeps going.
He's going.
I know. So I'm like, all right, dude, fuck off. I don't mind giving him shit. He gave me shit. But no, look, we're really lucky we get to work with these great directors.
I know. The pivot, the silver lining.
I know. He's like, all right, never mind. And it's true. I mean, they've worked with like every sort of, I don't know if they've been in a Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, we'd have to think about that. Yeah. I mean, Leo is his man. And is he going to be billed next to Brad? I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, Leo is one that is in their
and then, like, group. Brad gets his little gnashes out because Zach brings up the fact that, like, he was really honest about being in an all-male Alcoholics Anonymous group in LA. And then Brad jumps in to be like,
Yeah, and you know that they came down on me for that? AA did. They were like, it's anonymous. And I'm not outing anyone. Like, everyone knows the group exists. But I've heard that happen a lot. Like, people, they've really come for Dax Shepherd for talking so honestly about attending AA meetings.
Yeah, it is like a strange unwritten rule. There are like quite a few celebrities that attend the Al-Anon meetings that I go to.
Yeah, totally. But yeah. They don't like, I mean, you can say that you're attending them. You're not being like, and I was there and I saw Ivana Ryder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen any?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's one that goes to the meeting that I go to every week.
Can you tell me off record?
No, it's anonymous.
Are you serious?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. With a margarita in me, maybe.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I'll spill. Maybe I'll spill. Spritz in there.
Oh my God. But here they are. Thriving. You know, he's mad at Quentin, but he's fine. And
I found this interesting here. They talk about like the nuances of like navigating getting older and particularly like pain and injury. Mm-hmm. And this take on pain was so fascinating to me.
I know.
So Zach says, the thing you said to me when we last spoke, George, but you talked to like some pain guy and he'd said you have to reset your pain threshold because a lot of times what happens with pain is that you're constantly mourning how you used to feel, which is like a big part of having a cold or anything, right? You're like, oh my God, remember when I used to breathe? Those were the good days.
And I cannot move past that part. No. The whole time I'm so frustrated because I'm like, I was well
and
4 days ago.
And I didn't appreciate it. I took it for granted.
Yeah.
And George like responds and is like, yeah, like I hired this pain management guy. And he basically said, if you were born feeling the way you were right now, you wouldn't know you were in pain. You would think that this is how you're supposed to feel. So adjust how you think of pain. And that actually got him off painkillers like Vicodin, which is really crazy.
Yeah. That's something to put down in the little notebook.
Yeah.
Like, remember this.
Like, we as humans are fundamentally so adaptable. And I know. Like, that's a great reminder.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Yeah. And then he goes into some questions that, like, I feel like I'm always asking, like, aging icons, which is, like, you know, tell me about yourself and what you wish you could tell your younger self. And Pitt goes with a classic sort of, it's all going to be all right. That's kind of the thesis of his. Clooney talks about his aunt, Rosemary Clooney, who was a really famous singer and then stopped being a famous singer. The times changed, the music, you know, changed. Rock and roll came in and her star faded sort of immediately. And that it has nothing to do with you. He says, it's not my brilliance that made this thing a hit, and it's not my stupidity that made this one a flop. Mm-hmm. These are all the elements, and you're able to be a little bit more reflective. You take less credit for the good, and you take less credit for the bad.
They get into also a little bit about what is still left for you to like discover or explore, like what are the priorities. And here they go again, calling out someone by naming names. George Clooney being like, the older you get, time allotment becomes so different. Taking 5 months out of your life to do something is a lot. Say I'm going to do a really good film and I'm going to have a miserable fuck like David O. Russell making my life hell, making every person on the crew's life hell. It's not worth it. Not at this point in my life, just to have a good product. And like, what the fuck? He's out here naming them. Yeah. David O. Russell, who is famously horrifying on set. Made Amy Adams cry repeatedly on American Hustle.
How dare you?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, he's a rough one to work with. And just to like call a spade, which they're doing throughout this interview it's incredible. It's so sick.
I also think it's the biggest burn of all for Pitt to say, it's just boring as fuck.
Yeah. Yep. That's how Pitt replies.
Takes the winds right out of your sails.
It's not worth it to repeat ourselves. It's boring as fuck.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I know. And I like that. I think that so often we're taught to like burn ourselves at the stake of our careers, where it's like, you know, put in that grind for that year, that 2 years. What's that? And it's like, 2 years?
Yeah.
That's a really long time. Mm-hmm. Our lives are not unlimited.
No. Like, I told myself that this year and I have been finding it is a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's so true. And honestly, I think if I had one critique about this profile is that it could have ended there. It's just boring as fuck is so perfect to me.
What if we end it there?
No, because I also like this final line from George when he's talking about his career and what's left. And he says,
Well, let's also remember that we want to see our life in kind of a nice way too. A little bit of both. Everything in moderation, including moderation.
And then Zach says, do you agree with that, Brad? And he says, with a long philosophical pause, yeah. Everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah. And then the final photo of them looking out into the future together, both underwater in full suits.
Sunglasses on, shades on.
That's cool. That's cool.
The future's bright.
Yeah. I'm inspired by them. I mean, it reminds me of us, to be honest. And I don't think I'm too big for my britches to say that it's to find someone that whose career has followed a similar trajectory, to find someone who can relate uniquely to what you're saying. I many times have tried to engage other friends in a conversation about, like, you know, oh, it's tough because there are so many things I want to do, but a lot of them are unsustainable because of how, and they're like, oh, like, you're so talented, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want to hear ever.
I know what you mean. Yeah. To have someone be like, dude, here's the reality. None of that shit's going to make you feel better at the end of the day. Like, even if it all does come through for you, even if you do spend 5 months on the David O. Russell movie and it's an Oscar winner, like, what does it really mean? Ultimately, is it just a nice photo of a bad day?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? You know? A nice photo of a bad day.
Yeah.
Oh, not to bring it all the way back around, but my God.
Wow.
And wow. I think it's like, it's worth us saying that, like, we don't know the inner workings of these men. We don't know what they do or have done.
Yeah.
And
we don't know what kind of seedy, you know, their money in the Swiss banks, whatever it might be. And there may be a tell-all in 10 years that causes us to retract.
Yes.
Anything.
Anything we've said today. But at the end of the day, this is a really inspiring depiction of friendship.
Yeah.
And if you have a friend like this, someone who gets it, TM, hold them close and dear.
Yeah.
It doesn't come around that often.
It does not.
And it's the one thing that's going to outlast everything else.
Mm-hmm. I really think that's true. And will probably keep you going when you wouldn't find the strength in yourself.
Would you want to meet these men? Would you want to interview them?
I feel I'm good.
You feel content?
I feel content.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. I think I would want to interview them when I'm older and when they're older.
Yeah, totally.
80-year-old Brad Pitt, absolutely. Put me in a room.
Yes, yes. I mean, he might not even recognize you, though. At age, what, 60? He'd be like, I've never seen this creature in my life, a 60-year-old woman.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
I frankly can't really get her out of here.
I'm like, wait, excuse in me. 20 years, am I going to be 60? Me panicking. No, I'm not.
Wait, how old are we?
Wait, oh my God. We will be 50 though.
We will be 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that Brad also does not know.
Oh my God.
Has never met.
No, no, no.
But you know what? That's just doing them.
Yeah.
Even if it is in a villa in the south of France.
Yeah.
Just do you.
Just do you. That's what we leave you with today.
Have the best day. Argos. We love you so goddamn much, and we can't wait to be back next week in your arms and your ears.
Yeah.
Hold us close.
Please.
Is there any kind of, like, George Brad, like, joke, outro we can make here?
No.
Anything Fight Club related?
I'm trying to think. There was, like, a burn after reading.
Quote?
Like, where he said, I like when he says, aw, that's cool.
Yeah. This was cool.
Yeah.
I love you, dude.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at Uncover Girl Podcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.